Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the LifePoint Christian Church podcast. Let's get started.
So if God showed up tonight at your house, maybe you're sitting there watching TV, whatever the case may be, and he shows up and he says to you, "You can ask me for anything. No limits, no fine print. Ask for anything you want and I'll give it to you." What would you ask for? Some of you, I think, have wondered that type of thing in the past, because you've bought the lottery ticket, and you've said, "God, if you just let me win, I will be different than every other lottery winner, and I will not make a mess of my life," right? Some of you have thought that before. What would you ask for? Would it be something like that? Would it be more money? Would you ask for a better job or maybe a stronger marriage, or maybe you'd say, "Hey, God, I just want less stress in my life." Some of you might like just your body and it's falling apart and this and that, and you look in the mirror and you're like, "God, I just want a different body. Like, God, I'll take eternal youth." We've all thought of this. And so the question, what would you ask for? And whether it's more money, more success, more power, more influence, we all want a better something. Whatever it is, we want something that's better. Now, what's crazy is this type of moment actually happened in Scripture. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, God basically handed King Solomon a blank check. And he said to him in verse 7, he said, God appeared to Solomon and said, "What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you." Incredibly, Solomon doesn't go after the cash. He doesn't go after the money. He doesn't go after success or power or fame. He doesn't ask for a longer life. He asks for one thing. And at first glance, it sounds pretty like blah. Or is it? 2 Chronicles chapter 1, Solomon says back to God in verse 10, "God, would you give me wisdom?" Everybody say wisdom. "God, give me wisdom and knowledge to lead your people properly. For who could possibly govern this great people of yours?" And so God responds back to Solomon. He says, "Solomon, because your greatest desire is to help, your desire, your heart is to help your people, and you did not ask for what most people would ask for, which is wealth and riches and fame or even death of your enemies or long life, but rather you ask for wisdom and knowledge to properly govern my people," God says, "I will certainly give you the wisdom and the knowledge you requested." And God says, "But I'm going to throw in a bonus also. I'm also going to give you the lottery. I'm going to give you wealth and riches and fame such as no other king has had before you or will ever have in the future." Of all the options that Solomon could ask for, why in the world would that? Why did you choose that? Why ask for wisdom? Well, because Solomon understood something that most of us miss in the midst of our everyday, busy, crazy, chaotic lives. Solomon understood that there is a way that you and I can live our life, and there's a way we can live it where we flourish, but there's also a way we can live our life where we're just floundering in our life. There's a way, Solomon understood, there's a way that you and I as human beings, we can actually thrive, we can have meaning, we can have purpose in our life, that we can find value in our lives, that we can understand beauty, that we can have contentment, that we can have fulfillment, that we can have what matters most in life. Solomon understood, there's a way to live. There's a way to flourish, and there's a way to flounder. And Solomon says and understood, it all revolves around having wisdom. And so that's why we're kicking off this brand new series called Walking in Wisdom. Because you and I, we don't need more information. We don't need more content. You know what we need? We need clarity in our lives. We need wisdom, real, practical. How do I actually live my life? Wisdom. And the book of Proverbs is God's gift to us for exactly that. And so I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to pick it up in verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, you can go to the YouVersion Bible app. And it kicks off and says, "These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose," Proverbs, "their purpose," everybody say purpose, Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose, the Proverbs, is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives and to help people to do what's right and just and fair. And so these Proverbs will give insight to the simple. They'll give knowledge and discernment to the young. And he says, let the wise listen to these Proverbs and become wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these Proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. In plain language, this book is all about living our life well. It's practical. It's everyday. It's where real life meets real decisions. The book of Proverbs, listen, this isn't some abstract theology. The book of Proverbs is about, hey, how do I manage my life? How do I handle my money? How do I handle relationships? How do I act? How do I react? How do I respond when I'm hurt or when I'm angry? How do I actually make decisions that work for my life so that I can flourish rather than flounder? And so here's the kind of the big idea, if you will, for today. God's word, or more specifically, the Proverbs, is wisdom made clear. The Proverbs are the wisdom of God brought to clarity for us. So if you want wisdom, you don't start with Google. If you want wisdom, you don't start with a podcast or ChatGPT. You definitely don't start with your feelings or the latest trending advice. You start where? With God's word. Or more specifically, you start with Proverbs. Because when life comes at you, and it does, when life hits you hard, when the emotions are high, when relationships are strained, when you have a deal that's on the table, when the schedule that you have and are living is just packed, you know what you don't need? You don't need more opinions. You need truth. Proverbs is chocked full of truth, full of the wisdom of God. I know that I've stood in hospital rooms with people who are in their dying days and sometimes even in their dying moments. What do those people need from me? I'll tell you what they don't need. They don't need my advice. They don't need my wisdom. They don't need their advice from their friends. What do they need? They need the wisdom and the power of the Scriptures. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear because God's with me. They need Scriptures like, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And on it goes. That's the wisdom. That's the power that they need because God's word, it's not just trying to fill our minds and inform us. God's word forms us. It fills us. It sustains us. And so he says, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, and their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline. The Hebrew word for wisdom here, it doesn't just mean being smart or being intelligent. Wisdom actually means that we're skilled at life. It's the kind of wisdom that God gave Bezalel so that he was able to build the tabernacle. It's given to leaders for making good decisions. It's given to everyday people who are navigating every aspect of their life. So it's not just knowing truth. It's knowing what to do with truth. Knowledge, that's information. Wisdom, that's application into our lives. So you have this wisdom. It's being skilled at life. But also, he said, you also have this word discipline or instruction. What is that? It's like you have this coach or you have this trainer or this drill sergeant who's having you, hey, keep going. Don't give up. Give me another couple push-ups. Give me a couple more pull-ups. Hey, just a couple more reps. Keep going. It's kind of this training. Proverbs is this training for your soul. It trains you how to live. And so the book of Proverbs will tell us over and over and over, there's two ways for us to live. We can live as wise or we can live as unwise. We can live as wise or foolish. In fact, the book of Proverbs talks about wisdom over 125 times. And it talks about foolishness or being a fool. It talks about that over 100 times. So think about this. An entire book of the Bible dedicated, spent, telling us over 220 times, you live your life in one of two ways, as wise or unwise, as wise or as foolish. Jesus, by the way, he said the same thing to us. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said in verse 24, everybody who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise, everybody say wise. It's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet they did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Jesus' words put into practice, that's the firm foundation for our life. That's the wise person. Taking Jesus' words, put them into practice. It's like building your life on a rock. The unwise, let's see what it goes on to say. Verse 26, Jesus says, but everyone who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rains came, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. One built on rock, one built on sand. Same storm, two totally different outcomes. And what was the difference? The difference was wisdom. The wise person builds their life God's way. And so they get to stand successfully, thriving in life. The foolish person says, no. I'm going to hear God's word. I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm going to do life my way. I don't need God's way. And so that person is like building on sand. And Jesus says, that's foolish. And your life is going to come crumbling down. And your life's going to fall apart. There was a time 23 years ago when I sensed the leading calling of God in my life. I was in a mega church. I was in a thriving ministry. But I sensed God calling me to go plant a church, to start from scratch. Now, according to the wisdom of the world, and frankly, a couple friends and maybe a family member, according to them, Chris, you're making a mistake. It's foolish to waste your life like that. Why would you give up an amazing ministry to what? Go meet in a school with a handful of people with no guarantee that it will lead to anything? Why would you do that? Well, for starters, I wasn't interested in the wisdom of the world. I wasn't interested in that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25 says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. And 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, for the wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's sight. I sense God was leading Heather and I. I sense God's calling in our life, even if it didn't make sense from a worldly perspective, from a worldly wisdom perspective. So the Bible's clear. There's two ways to live. You can live as foolish or you can live as wise. You can live following the wisdom of God or the foolishness of this world, God's way or your way. And the reality is you will be making choices every single day. This isn't a one-time decision. Every day, multiple choices. And you could choose wise or foolish, wise or unwise. Every day we have those opportunities, which is why Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1 says it this way. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Not my words. Those are God's words. Which is why during this series, we're going to be saying over and over and over, a proverb a day keeps the stupid away. Okay? Proverb a day keeps the stupid away. Some of you are like, no, I need 2, 3, 4, 5 proverbs a day then. Here's how I kind of like to think about it. Proverbs are speaking to us, telling us truth, like with a smile oftentimes. It's like you read a proverb and you just kind of smile. You're like, yeah, that is so true. Yeah, that is so right. In fact, put a smile on your face. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1, it says it this way in another translation, whoever hates correction is a dumb animal. Right? I mean, that's hilarious to me. Like, you're stupid. You're a dumb animal. In other words, again, Proverbs isn't some deep theological book here. It's just telling you and I, hey, this is how you actually do life. It's saying, this is how life works. Let me just give you a couple of examples this morning. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 14 says it this way. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. Right? You're like, yeah, that is so true. That neighbor of mine who gets up at 6 a.m. and starts trying to mow the lawn, that's no blessing. It's not a good idea to wake up your neighbor early in the morning. What about this one? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2. Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. Right? You read that and you're like, yeah, I know people like that. They just want to talk and their opinions, they're crazy, and they have no interest in learning or getting understanding or insight. They just want to talk, 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 and they never are willing to learn. We're like, yep, no people like that. These next ones are going to be a little rough. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9 says this, it's better to stay outside on the roof of your house than to live inside with a nagging wife. Now, I know none of us have that with our spouse, and even if we did, we'd never admit it. But you chuckle at that because you're like, yeah, that I get it, because you know somebody else. Solomon's not done. In Proverbs 27, verse 15, he said, a quarrelsome wife is as annoying as a constant dripping on a rainy day. Proverbs, truth with a smile. And I read those passages, and I was like, oh, man, Solomon must have had it rough. He must, one of his wives, man. It's telling us, hey, this is just reality. This is kind of how it goes in life. It's how it works. Listen to this. Man, that's so true. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7 says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender. And you read that and go, yep, that's so true. And when you've been in debt, or if you're in debt, or you've been in debt in the past, you know the truth of that. There's nothing worse than feeling like someone else owns you. And when you're in debt, you're like you feel like you're a slave to them in that debt. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Right? You read that and go, oh, yeah, absolutely. Because you're in a circumstance, in a situation, and you want to lash out, and God's word says, no, hold on. A gentle answer is better. Because if you lash out and you send harsh words, man, that's just going to make the situation worse. And they're going to get angry. And now you're angry. And now it doesn't go anywhere good. Gentleness. A gentle answer. See, Proverbs is honest. Proverbs is blunt. It's sometimes hilarious. And sometimes it just punches you in the gut. Punches you in the face. Now here's where Proverbs gets pretty practical. Wisdom, as we go through this, is not the same as information. Wisdom is not the same as information. We live in the information age, right? I mean, we are just filled with information and going after so much information in our lives. 2 years ago, if I were to have you raise your hand and ask you, have you ever heard of ChatGPT? 2 years ago, there would have been hardly any hands, if any hands, that went up. And yet now, 2 years later, AI, ChatGPT and the rest of them, we're like, yeah, of course, I know all about them. I use them all the time. We have more knowledge at our fingertips now than in any time in human history. And yet, people are still wrecking their lives left and right. Why? Because information doesn't equal wisdom. You can know the right thing to do and still not do it. You can have the information. You can know what it takes. You can have the information on how to take care of your marriage and fix your marriage and yet still sabotage it. You can know what's right. You have the right information and yet still do what's wrong. Wisdom is not knowing more. Wisdom is knowing, is taking what you know and then actually applying it and living rightly. Wisdom is knowing when to speak and how to speak and when to be silent. Knowing how to follow through and when to follow through. It's knowing how to react, how to act when you're hurt instead of just reacting. Wisdom is having sound judgment. Wisdom is timing. Wisdom is having emotional awareness, having a high EQ. Some people have a high IQ. They have the information, the knowledge. But wisdom is having a high EQ, emotional intelligence, relational intelligence. Life isn't a script. Life isn't random inputs and outputs. It's people. It's nuance. Subtlety. It's how you actually do life. In fact, you probably know this. Somebody can be incredibly smart and still be unwise. You have all the information, you know everything, but be unwise. And maybe you know people like that. Like some people, man, they are so smart. They're so intelligent, but the reality is they're so dumb. Right? I mean, you probably know somebody like that. Like they are so smart. They have so much information, and you just look at them, you go, man, but you lack so much wisdom. You lack common sense. Think about this information idea for a moment. And take yourself back to the 1800s. And we're just like, today it's like, you got to know. What did you need to know in the 1800s? You needed how to grow your crops, feed your family, and marry one of the 12 girls in town who wasn't your sister. That's all you needed to know. That's it. If you knew that, you were good. You didn't need the temperature in Orange County. You didn't need the social media feed telling you what's going on in Florida. You didn't need information about a couple of ethnic groups or tribes in the interior of Africa and what they are going through. You didn't need all of that. The information now today is coming at us constantly at blistering speeds. And what has it done for you? What has it done for me? I'll tell you what it's done. It's created more anxiety and stress in our lives. It's created more pressure in our lives. Seriously, think about it for a moment. Would your life be better off or worse off if you stopped using social media and stopped listening to the news? Would it be better or worse? Most of you are honest, you'll say it'd be better. It doesn't mean you're going to stop it, but you just know. You don't need more information. And yet culture, society, everything around us is saying, hey, you need more information. That's the key to your soul. Another podcast, another article, another AI tool. But some people, they have a lot of information. They're very smart, and yet they're still unwise. You can know a lot, but navigate life in a very unwise way. You can have all the information in the world and still flounder instead of flourish. What's the difference? The difference is wisdom. And part of that wisdom is having even relational intelligence. That you take that relational intelligence and you turn information into a better life. So Proverbs, it's going to keep coming back at us and three specific areas that you and I, we need wisdom in our lives. We need wisdom in our lives as it pertains to our character, our relationships, and our mouth. Those three, character, relationships, and our mouth, that's going to determine the direction of your life. If you get those three right, you're going to flourish in life. You get those wrong, man, you're going to flounder in your life. Think about character for a minute. People always say, what is character? Character is what you have when nobody else is listening or watching. Okay, no problem. That's great. But think about it maybe this way. Your competency, that'll get you in the room. But your character is going to keep you there. What am I saying? Like, you can know it all and have a lot of competency and ace the test or ace the quiz or get the job. You can get into the room on your knowledge and your insight, your competency. But what keeps you there is your character. People wreck their lives because they made unwise decisions that ruined their character. What about this? Proverbs is also telling you and I that, man, we need to figure out our relationships. Are our relationships strong? Are they healthy? Or do we have this a trail of broken connections because we didn't exercise wisdom in our relationships? How are you connected to people? How do you treat people? And your mouth, what you say and how you say it. Is there wisdom there? You build people up or tear people down. I can tell you this. When you look across the church in America over these last 10, 15, 20 years, one of the things you discover is that pastor upon pastor upon pastor have fallen. And they have messed up big time. And the ones you know about are the ones that make the headlines. Often involved, though not always, mega churches. And when you hear about those stories, they're almost always one of two things, right? It's almost always either sexual in nature or financial in nature. Those are the big ones, and that's all a character thing. But you know what doesn't make the headlines that you don't hear about? Is that? But it's actually a bigger issue, and it's actually destroying in far more churches. What is it? Because of people's mouth, the gossip. Because of people's mouth, the negativity. Sowing seeds of division that end up dividing churches. People go and they run their mouths. They're not wise, and churches get destroyed because there's no wisdom there. So Proverbs says, watch your character. Be wise with your relationships. Be wise in how you speak and how you communicate. You have two ways you can live. You can be wise, or you can be foolish. And if you get it right, you're going to flourish in life. You get it wrong, and you're going to flounder in your life. And this whole wisdom thing, it's not automatic. It's not like sitting here this morning and say, okay, I'll take it. I'll take the wisdom. I'm good. I want wisdom. And then all of a sudden, you just have it. It doesn't work that way. How do you get wisdom? You don't stumble on it. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3 says it this way. Indeed, if you call out for insight and you cry aloud for understanding, like if you want wisdom, and if you look for it as if for silver, and if you search for it as for a hidden treasure, you search for it as for hidden treasure, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. In Hebrew thought, wisdom is something you can learn, but only if you're teachable. And so, you need to search for it. You need to go after it with purpose and on purchase and on purpose. And you accept correction. And you ask and you apply. You keep searching. Most people, they just kind of drift through their lives. But wisdom, those who seek wisdom, they say, no, I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to dig for wisdom like I'm searching for a buried treasure. I know it's there. It's a hidden treasure. And I'm going to go after it. So it raises the question, so where do we start with all this? What's the foundation? Where does the searching start? Well, before anything else, before we can make better decisions and have better relationships and have better outcomes in place, what needs to be in place for our lives? Solomon answers it here in Proverbs chapter 1, the next verse, verse 7, right out of the gate. And he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. This is where everything starts. This is the fork in the road that everybody has to deal with. Which way are you going to go? This is the difference between flourishing and floundering. There's a difference between building our life on the rock and building our life on the sand. So the question is, have you built your life on God or on yourself? The fear of the Lord is the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the foundation. Because at some point, every single one of us has to wrestle, and we have to wrestle with it oftentimes on a daily basis. Who's in charge? Who's in charge of my life? Am I going to do it God's way or my way? Am I going to lean into His wisdom, or am I going to lean into what feels right to me? A fool says, well, I know what's better. And so that's why the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning. The fear of the Lord is where it all starts. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. Now, we're not talking fear like terror. We're talking awe and respect and reverence. It's understanding God is God and I'm not. It means I don't get to redefine right and wrong because of culture's wisdom. I don't get to redefine that. I trust his way over my way, even if it doesn't feel natural to me. But one of the reasons people don't actually live this way is because their God is way too small. They've reduced God, lost sight of the scriptures, and they've reduced God to their buddy. They've reduced God to a consultant, you know, someone who comes into your life and makes some suggestions, and then you guys have a conversation together, and you kind of like, okay, I'll take that, but not take that. I'll take that, but that's not convenient. God's not a consultant. He's God. He's holy. He's powerful. He sees everything. He hates sin. Scripture talks about him having fire in his life, in his eyes. He hates everything that destroys life. He hates everything that kills us and wrecks us. And yet he also loves us with this fierce, intense, relentless love. And so whether you realize it or not, you're building your life right now on something. It's either your feelings and your experiences and your culture and your preferences, or you're building your life on God. And Proverbs says, if you build your life without him, that's foolish. That's unwise. Which means you can spend years of your life through trial and error, through making mistakes, carrying regret, living with consequences, or you can say, I want to learn from God. And that's what Proverbs gives us. Not opinions, not trends, not guesswork. It gives us God's wisdom. It's proven, it's practical, it's reliable. This is why God's word, Proverbs, is wisdom made clear to us. It shows us how life actually works. And so, let's come back to the question. If you could have one thing, God would give you one thing, what would you ask for? What would it be? Solomon made the right choice. He chose wisdom. Today, you have the same choice. I would encourage you to stop chasing anything else. Start pursuing wisdom. Start going after it like it's a hidden treasure. Become a wisdom hunter. And so this week, let's do that. Let's do that. Every single day, I want to invite you, read a proverb a day. Read a proverb a day, because a proverb a day keeps the stupid away. Read it. Soak it in, write it down, and then actually do it. Because wisdom is doing life, is doing your life God's way, even if it doesn't feel natural. Build your life on him, not on your own. So what that does mean for some of you here, if you've never said yes to Jesus, that's where you start. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, that Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus is the wisdom of God in the flesh. He's the answer, whether you know it or not, that you've been looking for. Without him, you're just trying to be wise on your own. But with him, he ends up leading you and guiding you, and you pursue him and the wisdom he offers. And that's building on the firm foundation. Without him, you're building your life on sand. Wisdom always starts with God, and that is seen through his son, Jesus Christ. So have you turned your life over to him? Have you surrendered your life to him? We want to talk about that to God right now. If you're a Christian, if you're a Jesus follower, do you constantly go back to seeking God's way or your way? Seeking God's wisdom or your own wisdom or the wisdom of the world? Let's talk about that with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we recognize, God, you're not just our buddy and our friend. Though Jesus talks about that a little bit, you're so much more. You're holy. You're righteous. And we recognize that. And we recognize, God, that your ways are not our ways. And your thoughts are not our thoughts. And so, God, we don't want our own wisdom or our own ways. We want your ways and your thoughts, your wisdom to lead us and guide us. And so, God, would you hear our prayers as we call out to you and cry out to you? And so if you're a Jesus follower, I want to encourage you right now. Take a moment with God. What are those areas in your life where you haven't really been doing it God's way? He's your Lord and Savior, but it's not always true by the way you're living your life. Would you be willing to once again surrender to Him and surrender to His way, to His wisdom? Spend a moment with the Lord. Talk to Him about that. Tell Him, God, I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to pursue your wisdom and your way in my life. And as you're praying about that, there are probably a few of you here. The reality is you have never yet made the wisest decision that you could ever make in this life and what will affect your eternity. You've never said yes to the wisest decision, which is to give your life to Jesus Christ. And you know God loves you. You've heard about it. You've sensed it. You've felt it. But you've been trying to do life your way. Today's your day of salvation. And I want to invite you today to make the wisest decision you could ever make and join the rest of us and surrender your life to God. Give your life to Jesus. He'll come into your life. He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll give you the gift of heaven, the gift of eternal life. But it starts with you saying, I'm done doing it my way. I'm done doing it the world's way. And I hand my life over to you, Jesus. If that's you, or you're saying, yep, that's me, I'm ready, I want to invite you to pray with me right now. Pray something like this. Just say, Jesus, thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercy in my life. Thank you, Jesus, that you would choose to die on a cross for me, that you would take my place. So, Jesus, as best as I understand right now, in faith, I surrender my life to you. I give my life to you. God, I'm done trying to do my life my way or the world's way. I want to do my life your way. So I know it starts with me just saying, here's my life, it's yours. I love you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for your amazing love. My life is yours, and I'll pursue you and you alone. I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand with me. For those of you who just prayed that for the very first time, we'll have our prayer team on the sides of the stage, and whether now or after the service, we invite you to go talk with one of them and pray with one of them. Tell them the decision you just made. We'd love to follow up with you and talk about what's next. We'd love to celebrate that with you. Don't make that decision in isolation. Bring some of others into it, and we want to celebrate with you. And I want to invite you right now. The wisest thing you can do right now is not just stand there and look at the screen. The wisest thing you could do right now is not just stand there and mouth words. The wisest thing you can do is worship Almighty God. To call out to Him and cry out to Him and say, God, I love you. God, I know your mercy, it never fails me. I know that you've been faithful to me, God, all my life. So I want to invite you right now to worship Almighty God. It's the wisest thing you can do in this moment. Pour out your heart. Pour out your soul. Let's do that collectively as the body of Christ. He's a good God, and He deserves and expects our worship and praise. Let's worship Him.
You can learn more about us by visiting us online at lifepoint.org. If you are ever in the Sacramento area, we would love to see you in person. Events and service times can be found on our website. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us for our next episode.